Speaker is Lisa Natoli from Melbourne, Australia.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Today, on behalf of my co-authors, I'm going to be sharing the findings of our qualitative research that explored the benefits and barriers to the integration of chlamydia and gonorrhea point-of-care testing in remote Australian communities. So just a little bit of background to begin with. Rates of chlamydia and gonorrhea are very high in remote Aboriginal communities, with prevalence being substantially higher than that in urban settings and amongst the non-Indigenous population. And this prevalence difference is threefold for gonorrhea, for chlamydia, and 17-fold for gonorrhea. Did I say threefold for chlamydia and 17 for gonorrhea? In remote communities, patients with symptoms are treated presumptively using syndromic management, but for the vast majority of patients who are asymptomatic, specimens are sent out to the laboratory for testing. But treatment is often delayed due to the vast distances between these remote clinics and laboratories, and also because of challenges in locating patients when positive results are returned. Client mobility is typically very high, and follow-up systems are not always effective. And we know that up to 25% of patients are not treated in some areas, and the average time to treatment is 21 days for asymptomatic clients. The molecular point-of-care tests such as the GeneXpert are now available and have the potential to improve STI control in settings such as ours. The Test, Treat and Go, or TANGO trial, is a randomised control trial of the GeneXpert in remote Australian communities. And it was in the context of this trial that we performed this qualitative research. So this slide depicts Australia according to remote classification, with the most remote areas being the ones in the light cream colour. There are 12 Aboriginal health services participating in TANGO, and all are located in remote communities in Queensland, South Australia and Western Australia. And just to provide some context, most of these communities are served by generalist primary health care facilities, and these are mainly staffed by nurses and Aboriginal health workers with fly-in, fly-out support from medical staff. And in some situations, clinics may be thousands of kilometres away from the nearest reference lab. Specimen transport might only occur once a week, and so results might not be received for up to 10 days. So we conducted in-depth interviews with a purposely selected group of key informants with a range of sexual health and laboratory expertise. They were drawn from 5 of the 8 Australian states and territories and included individuals with current or previous professional experience in remote Aboriginal communities. The majority of participants were male, with the average age being 49 years. Interviews took place over the phone or a Skype or face-to-face, and lasted between 30 and 75 minutes. And the interviews were recorded and then transcribed and analysed for content and recurring themes. So in terms of benefits, the interview participants identified a range of benefits that would stem from point-of-care testing, and these are summarised on this slide according to how they relate to the individual, the health service, or at the public health level. And I'll explain these bullet points in a little bit more detail with some illustrative quotes in the following slides. I should note that the interview questions were framed in relation to chlamydia and gonorrhea point-of-care testing in general, so not just in relation to the new generation of molecular point-of-care tests. So when we talked about benefits, participants often qualified their responses and explained that the extent of benefits would depend on the type of point-of-care test, its performance and operational characteristics, population it's being used with, the prevalence of STIs in that population, what the population's access is to routine laboratory testing, and also what the purpose of testing was, whether it be for diagnosis or screening. So at the individual level, respondents identified the key benefits as being a reduction in the time to treatment and the risk of complications, more targeted prescribing, greater client satisfaction, and a reduction in anxiety as the wait time for results is reduced, as well as a reduction in stigma, as clients with positive results would no longer need to be actively followed up in the community. So it's common in remote communities that health workers would actually hop in a car and go out and locate positive clients. They also identified the potential for more comprehensive STI care and education during the wait time for test results. At the health service level, participants identified a range of efficiencies and savings, such as reducing the need for follow-up appointments and potentially reducing hospital admissions, so for example in the case of women presenting with lower abdominal pain. Some felt that point-of-care testing might help to raise the profile of STIs and testing rates in health services where sexual health is less of a priority. And there was also a suggestion that the point-of-care approach might strengthen local data collection in services as the data becomes real-time without having to question whether specimens got sent off on the plane and results have been returned. In terms of public health benefits, they felt that reducing the time between diagnosis and treatment would reduce the duration of infection and further STI transmission and subsequently reduce the infectious pool and prevalence. Many also noted that point-of-care testing would allow partner notification to commence more quickly and that when coupled with more prompt management of index cases, this could reduce reinfection as well as the infectious pool. It was also suggested that point-of-care testing would result in more targeted prescribing and that this could lead to broader public health benefits such as the potential to mitigate antibiotic resistance. And there's also a feeling that the point-of-care approach could enhance acceptability of STI testing and lead to increased testing rates. In terms of barriers, participants firstly highlighted a large number of pre-existing barriers to achieving high rates of routine STI test coverage, such as the sensitive cultural and health service factors that would be relevant in many communities around the world. But they also identified a unique set of challenges posed by point-of-care testing, and these barriers are summarised here and will be explained on the following slides. Participants identified the first barrier as being the availability of a high-performing point-of-care test that would be suited to the tough Australian environment, as reflected on this quote. And they also recognised that such a test would need to comply with our regulatory and accreditation framework. Financing and who takes responsibility for this was a huge concern, and in particular, whether the test would be eligible for reimbursement under Medicare, which is Australia's universal health insurance scheme. And this is a critical consideration because the existing lab testing that goes on in remote communities is rebatable under Medicare. Participants felt that acceptability of testing to both the community and service providers would be an important consideration, and that at the health service level, factors such as staff turnover, which is notoriously high in remote settings, competing demands and just generally the operating environment would be an important influence on acceptability. Many recognised the need to review how point-of-care testing would impact on clinical practice and, where necessary, revise protocols for testing, retesting and treatment. And they wondered how point-of-care testing would impact on syndromic management and diagnosis and management of PID, and also how the immediacy of the result would impact on workflow and be managed by staff, and this was a really big concern. They also recognised the potential need for legislative change to approve nurses and Aboriginal health workers to authorise testing and dispense treatment. The delivery of training and maintaining competency were highlighted as inherent challenges in these remote services where staff have many competing demands, diverse levels of education and often lacking in specialist sexual health expertise, and where staff turnover is very high. Respondents had big concerns about the potential for a loss of quality in testing with the point-of-care approach. And whilst they recognised the need for a comprehensive quality management framework, they also recognised the challenge of establishing one that would be both feasible and acceptable in remote clinics. Some had concerns about the potential impact of point-of-care testing on existing disease surveillance processes and the completeness of notification data. They also identified the potential for point-of-care testing to further compromise the flow of gonorrhea sensitivity data and the need to identify strategies to manage this before any widespread shift to the point-of-care approach. So in conclusion, the interview participants saw many benefits to introducing STI point-of-care testing in remote settings, but also a number of barriers. Integration of these tests to health services is by no means straightforward, but these findings have helped us in our early implementation of Tango and will help inform future scale-up of chlamydia and gonorrhea testing in our remote communities and elsewhere in the world. Finally, I'd just like to thank and acknowledge the interview participants who gave very generously of their time, and also our many collaborators who make Tango possible. Thank you.
We have time for a couple of questions. And if there are no questions, let's just thank our speakers for an excellent session.